Welcome to Manager Tools. This week, meetings. Anything else? This cast answers these questions. How should I wrap up discussions and meetings? Should I ask anything else? Is there a better way to end meeting discussions? Well, if you want answers to these questions and more, keep listening. Here we go.
Folks, if you're listening to us right now, and you don't get any emails from us, or you don't come to the website at all and download something which would require you to create a free account, we miss you. We would like very much to have a relationship with you. Now, hopefully you've listened for a while, and you know that Mike and I, and by extension, all of our staff, pretty regular folks. We don't like spam. We're not going to overdo it. Okay, we're not going to be busy trying to sell you stuff. I mean, look, if our business model is give away everything we know for free every week, we got to have some good bones in our bodies. But we would like to connect with you. Every once in a while, we have free offers and so on. We want to let you know what's happening. We want to give you a chance potentially to come to a conference. It will help us get a sense of how our community is changing. We have over 100,000 people that are part of the community, and it's actually a great deal more than that. But we don't know who you are because we have no contact with you. We're glad you enjoy the podcast, and we'd appreciate it if you come and have an account so we can get to know you better and perhaps provide you some additional services, many of which are at no charge. So come to the website, get a free account. Thanks, folks.
So Mark, you and I have both have been in meetings where, matter of fact, I probably actually said this at the end of a meeting. Is there anything else?
Yeah. Well, not just at the end of the meeting, right? But people do this all the time during meetings as they go topic, right? It just becomes a compounding error.
Even worse. And then.
Exactly. Dude, where's my car? Exactly.
So kick us off here. That clearly is not a great a way to end a meeting or to...
And look, it's completely innocent. Nobody taught you this stuff. So if you're a manager or if you're a facilitator, or if you run meetings and you do this all the time, we're not trying to poke at you. We're trying to suggest to you that we've tested other ways to do it and there are better ways. And that phrase, anything else, is just like, it's literally like Loki running the meeting. It just, let's please open the gates to chaos and hell and we'll let them run rampant over our meeting.
Right. And if you're listening and you've run meetings before and you've tried to keep them on time and, you know, start on time and end on time, we'll talk more about that stuff later, you can immediately see where this might go.
This is just one of those little, it's like a little leak in your meeting, in your tight ship.
Not a little leak. Big leaks.
Yeah. Depending upon how often you do it. Yeah. What happens? We start discussing something and when it's about done, whomever is running the meeting, ask anything else? And that often leads more discussion. And often the discussion is only tangentially related to the agenda item at hand. Later, after the meeting, we all then decry the rabbit trail we go down, right? It's like, right? How long the meeting went and how we didn't get to everything. But this mistake is just one of many mistakes that meeting managers or facilitators make. We just asked the wrong question and we didn't pay enough homage to the clock. In fact, I think one of my tweets going out sometime in the next couple of weeks, boy, I can't remember exactly what it is. I think it's something like meeting rooms without clocks are like casinos without gaming tables. And that, of course, the joke in that is that casinos
don't have clocks.
And you know why? They don't want you to think about what time it is. You walk into a meeting room without a clock, you're basically saying, oh, we don't have to think about time. We're just going to have a brainstorming session. We're really going to get together. We're going to bond and we're going to have a great conversation. And that's one of the reasons why everybody hates meetings, because they're not run efficiently. And believe me, I promise you, Effective Meetings is one of our most popular podcasts, probably been downloaded 10 million times. And in that podcast, we talk about how by making your meeting efficient, by tightening things up, you end up getting this massive improvement in effectiveness because people start coming to the meeting knowing how you want them to behave, and they got a benefit because suddenly the meeting ended on time and they got everything done. And so they come. It's like a little flywheel happening. It's a virtuous cycle. So,
Sounds pretty good. I'll take one of those.
Yeah, I'll take two. So here's our outline. First of all, our first bit of guidance, don't ask the question anything else. Again, Loki. It's the Loki rule, okay? What you can say is we're moving on, or you can say next item, right? You're essentially saying we're done, not would anyone like to throw a wrench in the works? And don't forget about covering deliverables, who does what by when. You've got to do that at the end of each agenda item. Certainly, the last 2 points we're going to make, have a parking lot and set ground rules, which are essentially more strategic things you can do to reduce the chances that anything else will bite you.
Okay. I don't even have to say the title of the first section because it's pretty clear right now that the first thing we'd say is don't ask anything else, right?
Yeah. In fact, at the top of the show, I think you read the questions that in the show notes that we write, right, that I write, we have, you know, to help people, and I think it goes into our search engine on the website, a series of questions that this podcast answers. And the first question you asked was, how should I wrap up discussions in meetings? The first answer, the positive-minded answer is, well, wrap them up.
Right.
And that's the antithesis of saying anything else. When you think you're near the end of an agenda item, folks, if you're the leader or the facilitator, facilitate getting to the next item. There's a point at which things are, you're in the denouement phase. The climax has happened. The decision's been made, whatever. And it's not your job to fritter away those extra 2 or 3 minutes or even 30 seconds. Don't send any signals that you're looking for additional comments or items or related items, or that this is some sort of open casting call. Lots of meeting attendees, especially the less important ones and the arrogant ones and the voluble ones, and heaven forbid somebody's less important and they're arrogant and they're voluble because they are begging for an opportunity to get a bite at the bowl. They look for opportunities to talk about what they want to talk about. And you notice it's what they want to talk about. But meetings are not for people to talk about what they want to talk about. Meetings are to talk about what the agenda says we're going to talk about.
Yeah, but Mark, the reason I'm asking somebody why I'm saying anything else is I'm trying to encourage those who have been a little bit more reserved and haven't had a chance to contribute because of people like you who talk a lot. And I'm just trying to open it up to give them an opportunity to speak. Isn't that okay?
Seriously. Well, sure it is. No, I mean, look, we just had a conversation about stoicism before we started recording. Look, how you feel inside, what your beliefs are, what your intents are, what your motivations are important to you. Those are legitimately good intents and motivation, Mike. So well done.
Thank you.
But if you have good attitude, good intent, good motivation, and your results turn out poorly, you either have to change your behavior or you have to change your attitude, your intent, and motivation. We don't get paid for our attitudes, our intents, or our motivation. We don't. We get paid for our results. And what happens is people say, well, I just want to make sure everybody gets a chance to be heard. The people had a chance to be heard. There was an open discussion and they chose not to talk.
Right.
It is not the meeting facilitator's job to make sure everybody is heard. It's not. The moment you say it's my job to help to make you feel heard, now I'm having to motivate you to do what, as a professional sitting at the table, by definition, sitting at the table requires you to do, which is to speak up. And meetings are expensive. We've told the story many, many times about meeting clocks, right? You can actually get meeting clocks that are then programmed. They're tied into the salary structure of a company. And it has to be done by somebody with some role power so that they know that, you know, it has to be the most senior person. And they type in people's names into a little iPad or what nowadays an iPad. Years ago, it used to be, might've been a teletype machine or something. And it calculates the dollars per minute that are being spent. And that clock just goes ding, ding, ding. And I mean, it gets to be thousands of dollars. And people think, oh, labor's free. Well, labor's not free. And actually, whatever you think your salary is, that's not your labor cost to the company. Because they got to pay for your benefits. They got to pay for your vacation. They got to pay for your health care. They got to pay for your real estate. Yes, and maybe in COVID, the real estate's not as much. Actually, I'm not really sure that many companies have completely divested themselves of their downtown real estate. I'm sure they're still paying for it. They may end up in the long run paying less for it. But some of the biggest companies, at least in the U.S., as I recall, the general number is between 2/3 and 3/4 above your salary is your actual cost. So labor is not free, and the time we spend together, that clock runs pretty fast. So it's a great intention, Mike. It's a great motivation, but it's misplaced. The meeting facilitator's job is to get everything done in the meeting. The individual attendee's job is to speak up. Somebody who says, I don't feel comfortable speaking up, their manager should talk to them about how they could get to be feeling more comfortable. But that doesn't mean the meeting facilitator needs to make everybody feel comfortable, or that they need to blow the agenda, blow the meeting schedule in order to satisfy that one person. All anybody ever tells me is, oh, I've got Zoom calls all day. Okay. I think I just talked to our friend Dan West at Apple, and I think he said that every meeting starts at 5 past and ends at 5 till, the hour-long meetings. And they're only 50 minutes, and the reason is to give everybody 10 minutes. We've been saying for years, in fact, we have a podcast about any meeting you can run in an hour, I can run in 45 minutes. And frankly, most hour-long meetings, you could probably schedule for 30 minutes once you start adhering to some efficiencies around running the meeting around the fundamental principles we talk about here today. So,
yeah, that was great. I just thought you were going to say, well, you could ask that question, but the problem is if you invite people to talk more, the people who are reserved will still be reserved. And the people who talk a lot are the ones that are going to answer. So it doesn't, so it just simply doesn't work. I mean, it doesn't work.
Yeah. Let's bring DISC into this for a second, right? If you open it up, the D's or I's are going to talk, and the S's and C's naturally are going to say, oh, they're talking, I'm not going to talk. Right. Now, if you want to go around the room, do a poll of each person. Great. No, I'm kidding. Don't do that. This is not open mic night. Okay. Really, it's a silly misconception in meetings that everyone should get a chance to weigh in. Frankly, in theory, meeting theory, that's true. But meeting theory essentially says, A, you have the right people and only the right people in attendance. And B, you can do so, in other words, have everyone contribute while meeting the time parameters of the meeting and meeting the parameters of individual agenda items and the whole meeting duration. You know, I use the analogy of a meeting being a group of people together trying to accomplish something, much like a band, right? This isn't a musical jam session that doesn't have an end time where everybody gets to riff and everybody gets to do their thing and we listen to other riffs and so on. It's an orchestra. It's playing a particular song, and songs end when they're supposed to end, when the music stops, which is the end of the meeting. Your agenda is the song's meter, or really probably its tempo. And a meeting without an agenda really isn't a meeting. So stop complaining about meetings being sloppy and running long if you don't have an agenda. And an agenda, by the way, is not just a list of topics. I've said that so many times, somebody's going to probably email me. I'm sick of hearing you say that, right? Agendas, though, with start and stop times for each item, which, by the way, that's a bit like saying Mark is spelled with an A. By definition, an agenda, you can't call something an agenda that has a list of items on it that doesn't have start and stop times. It's not an agenda without that. But agendas with start and stop times for each item. And by the way, you may have to guess at it when you create your agenda. There's no problem. We have a podcast about how to create a quick and dirty agenda where you just guess, and it's okay. And particularly if it's a recurring session, you'll learn in the first couple whether to give something 20 minutes or 10 minutes. There's no problem with that. Agendas with start and stop times, that's how professionals run meetings. And if you're getting paid to show up to work, you're supposed to behave like a professional. If you're not willing, as the facilitator or the leader of the meeting, to do the simple advance work, you can't go around complaining about crappy meetings, and you sure can't do it if you're the one running the meeting. It's your fault. Now, suppose you're an attendee at a meeting, and it's driving you crazy, and you're a fan of ours, and you're like, Mark and Mike would lose their heads. They'd have an aneurysm. You're right, we probably would, but we would be stoic about it. If you suggest that this meeting could be more efficient, and I encourage you to do so to somebody you have a good relationship with, you're almost inevitably going to be volunteered to run the meeting. And my answer, okay, well, then what should I do? Should I not suggest it? No, you should suggest it. They'll offer to have you do it, and you should do it. Now, it'll be a bit of a hassle, but we've got enough guidance that you can just listen to our casts. It doesn't cost you a thing, and you can figure out how to do any meetings. But you will look really good whipping that meeting into shape, and your professional credentials will be totally burnished. Now look, try not to do this if there are a bunch of senior people in the meeting who are cavalier with other people's time. There are some people who actually like it. Oh, I love meetings. We just get to put our feet on the desk and we just get to chat and kind of brainstorm. Those people are the plague, by the way.
The devil.
Yeah. What they're doing is bigfooting, and by the way, on their own budgets, which is just insensible. It's embarrassing. But it's likely going to be unresponsive to basic meeting management principles that you would enforce. Now, if it's your boss who's frustrated one day and he mentions to your side, God, that meeting is such a pain, just say to him, hey, boss, I'll run it. Now, again, it depends on your relationship with your boss. Just say to her, boss, I'll run it. And she says, really? Yeah, I'll do it. Give me a little bit of leeway and support me when I put stuff in place. And we will have a great meeting. And then we'll roll that template of running a meeting out to all the other meetings that you run.
Yeah, so pretty soon I'll be in charge. I didn't mean that, boss.
Yeah. Well, when she gets promoted, you'll get promoted.
There you go. There you go. All right. So I think we've nailed don't ask anything else, right?
Yeah.
So what do you say then?
Well, yeah. So two phrases that we've tested and that work real well are moving on, we're moving on, or next item, right? The right way to handle the near end or end of an agenda item is to say, we're moving on. Again, you can also say next item. Followed then immediately by next topic is blah, 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 blah. I actually prefer next item because it is even less challengeable than the first. Moving on does generally work, certainly a hell of a lot better than anything else. But sometimes the chaos inducers, the Lokis of the world, they think they can get away with going, but wait.
Oh, no. No. Yeah.
Now, by the way, guys, I use the analogy, the chaos analogy and the Loki thing. The Loki's designed to be a little bit pop culture and funny. And I don't have much of a sense of humor, so be kind to me when you write me emails. But I promise you, the reason I mentioned chaos is because one of my favorite phrases, and I learned it in the Army in 1986 and 1987 in South America. Always remember, when there is chaos, someone benefits. And when you're running a meeting, that someone is not you. Those people are misaligned to the meeting. And because you represent the meeting as its facilitator or its leader, they're essentially throwing down the gauntlet and saying, I want to be in conflict with you. Now, I'm not suggesting you have a conflicting conversation. I don't want you to confront them. I just want you to run such an efficient meeting that they end up staying quiet because they know, in some cases, you're willing to, I know this will be politically incorrect, steamroll right over them. And you'll have to be able to say, if someone does say, wait, remember, you're running the meeting, not them. Again, it's not open mic night. Whether you're the meeting leader, like at your weekly staff meeting of you and your directs, or you're the facilitator of somebody else's meeting, right? And you've had operational leadership of this meeting delegated to you. You can and should override their demand or their request. Just say, nope, guys, sorry. We're moving on. Well, I really want to, nope, sorry, folks, we're moving on. Now, one might ask us, okay, what about Mark? By the way, this is not how it happens, but I know I get this question. It's a false question, but I understand the impetus of the question, and I think it's fair. What about, Mark, if we finish an agenda item like 5 minutes early? Surely I can leave open that 5 minutes for open discussion. In other words, open the door, let Loki come in and say, Loki, stand on the table. What do you want? Anything you want me to do for you? You know, It's a good question. But the answer is still probably no. You don't want to give them 5 minutes. If you finish an agenda item 5 minutes early, say, okay, great, we're ahead of schedule, next item. In other words, you're encouraging everybody to understand that if we stay on track, everyone is going to get those 5 minutes back. If I have an agenda item from 12 to 12:15, And then I have agenda item from 12:15 to 12:30. I'm making that up. And I finish the first agenda item at 12:10. I then don't give the next 20 minutes to the next agenda item. The next agenda item gets 15 minutes. Everything gets shortened. Actually, everything doesn't get shortened. Everything just gets moved forward. So the next agenda item starts at 12:10 and it runs until 12:25. Now, there's a little bit of clock math you have to do in your head. You don't want to just fritter away the 5 minutes you gained by giving it right back by having a sloppy agenda item number two. But look, when you say it that way, okay, great, we're ahead of schedule, next item. The moment you say ahead of schedule in a meeting, people get excited. The people who are busy, the people probably you want to protect, they're going to be like, no. Okay, let's move on. He or she has just sent me a message that I might be able to get out of here, you know, without growing a beard.
Right.
So that'll help you overcome those blabbermouths.
Yeah. You know, I also think letting people interject new topics in this extra 5 minutes is just a route to meeting hell.
It happens all the time with anything else.
Yeah. It sends the message that one, the agenda doesn't mean anything. You don't have to negotiate the agenda ahead of time. Everybody who's attending that meeting, assuming you're running your meetings professionally, has got an agenda. And by attending that meeting, they've agreed essentially to that agenda. And the idea that somebody can come in and with their own agenda, meaning it differently, like it's just crazy. And that person, if you let them get away with it, they no longer have an incentive to play by the rules we've all agreed to, which is the things we are going to discuss are going to be on the agenda. Because the other meeting participants would probably like to come prepared to be able to discuss that agenda. So it's a power move that I don't much care for.
Yeah. Agreed. Yeah. Now look, if somebody pushes, your response could be, look, only if it relates to the item, this item specifically. Otherwise, we're going to parking lot it and we only have 5 minutes. We'll talk more and we'll talk more about parking lot in just a minute.
Well, there's the out. If somebody complains, we'll put it in the parking lot.
All right. Yeah. And of course, 9 times out of 10, I'll probably say again in a minute, there's nothing in the parking lot because people realize now it's the end of the meeting. The least likely time you're going to get anything else, if you were silly enough to ask that question toward the end, is at the last 5 minutes. People are like, no, don't anybody talk now. No, we're good. Let's get out of here. I have to go to the bathroom. Yeah. Now, there's something else that we're missing that goes to the strategic stuff we talked about in effective meetings, which is you got to remember to cover your deliverables. You've got to fix responsibility. That's the title of one of the bullets in the outline in effective meetings, fixing deliverables, which led to the phrase which became Horstman's Law of Project Management, which is who does what by when. One of our core recommendations from effective meetings, which is a Hall of Fame cast, is to end each agenda item by capturing deliverables before moving to the next item. So if you're following that guidance and you think you finished 5 minutes early, and so therefore you have time for anything else, Loki on steroids, don't forget that even if you do have that 5 minutes left, you need time to capture deliverables. And for those of you who don't know, the short way to do that, as we shared this years ago, and I encourage you to go listen to effective meetings, is, okay, so real quick, before we move on, recapping, Sarah, you owe Kate an update on the numbers for next quarter by tomorrow, COB, right? For those of you who don't know, COB stands for close of business. And that right, you notice I said right with a question mark at the end, that right's important because it makes that capture of deliverables a question to Sarah, causing Sarah to have to acknowledge her deliverable by saying yes or right.
And now she's made a commit to it publicly.
Yeah. And then it goes in your notes because you don't take notes on everything and you certainly don't take meeting minutes. Anyone who's listening to this, please, whatever you do, stop saying the word minutes about meetings. Minutes are actually kind of a legal term and really are only used in official kind of legal proceedings. You might be surprised to hear this, but corporate boards have minutes and they have a minutes secretary keeping track of everything because the corporate board is legally, fiduciarily responsible to do that. Courts have minutes. They also have transcripts and other stuff as well. But you're not in the business of having minutes. Minutes capture everything. Businesses, corporations, organizations, even the government and even academia, you don't do minutes, you do notes. And notes essentially are deliverables. Who's going to do what by when? Not who said what, but who's gonna do what? So if and only if you can cover deliverables of the current agenda item and still have time for something additional, should you even consider allowing it? And I'm even suggesting don't allow it. Move on to the next item. And whatever they're going to bring up, they can bring up during the parking lot. And that brings us to parking lot, right?
There you go.
That was our next item. So we've alluded to it a couple of times. I think a lot of you who are long-time listeners know this, but another core piece of our effective meetings guidance is to include 5 minutes at the end of every meeting. If you're having a four-hour meeting, okay, you can have a 10-minute parking lot. Include 5 minutes at the end of every meeting for items and issues not covered during the agenda. It's called a parking lot. Some people call it a bin. I never like that because in some, I know where it comes from. I know bins and Kanban and so on, but in Britain, a bin is trash. I don't think that's good. I don't think it's one of those colloquialisms that has too many meanings, some of which are antithetical to the purpose in this case. And this is where you can direct those folks who want to glom on to any of your agenda items and say, no, it's fine. We have time for that. It's in the parking lot. And again, if I'm burning to be Loki and Mike is running the meeting and he says, Mark, I'm sorry, you can do it in the parking lot. I have a completely different feeling about covering it 45 minutes later when everyone else is looking at me saying, you realize that if this thing you're bringing up is unimportant, you're wasting my time right. When I could go do email, go to the bathroom, get ahead of schedule, get to my next meeting on time at a different building.
You're the only one between me and the door.
Yeah seriously. But think twice, big guy. Yeah. Now look, here's our guidance for those of you who haven't heard it from effective meetings. Let's say we're talking about quarterly sales projections. And somebody says, well, before we do this, we've really got to talk about the logistical problem that we've got. Well, that brings up the fact that we're having trouble sending in our sales reports. And the meeting facilitator has to say, well, time out, guys. That's not on the agenda. We're talking about sales forecast here. It's important. So we need to maybe talk about it, but not now. We're going to throw that in the parking lot. And you can have a chart on the wall or a piece of paper in the middle of the table for other people who don't even have to surface their question to write something down to go in the parking lot. If it's visual to everybody, it's a little bit more effective. But for the most part, most people's parking lot tends to be just a piece of notepaper to the side of the agenda where the meeting notes are being captured by the facilitator. At the end of the meeting, you've got those 5 minutes on the agenda for parking lot issues every single time. Now, look, during the parking lot time, you don't handle each item. You're not suggesting that we're going to solve that issue in 5 minutes. If you need 15 minutes for that logistical item, you don't have a 50-minute logistical discussion in the last 5 minutes of the meeting, obviously. 10 pounds of stuff in a 5-pound bag. You say, okay, what are we going to do about the logistical thing? You can't solve it now, so you have to decide what you can get done in the next 5 minutes. Maybe you put it on your next agenda. Maybe decide somebody will handle it and report before the next meeting. Or send an email to everybody. But here's the great thing about parking lots, the thing I love. 9 times out of 10, there's not a lot in the parking lot. So you finish early, providing you've stuck to your agenda and you haven't let Loki in the room to wreak havoc on your carefully planned agenda because you said anything else. The parking lot becomes a great buffer at the end of the meeting and you can offload stuff to it. And yet it still finishes you early almost every single time.
Right. It gives you the thing. If somebody pushed back, they want to cover something, said, oh, no problem. We'll put it in the parking lot, right?
Yeah, it's no
just
problem.
Like, just an outlet valve for the problematic person.
Yeah.
Okay. Next, setting ground rules.
Yeah. We've basically been addressing a really tactical error here, right? You know, where somebody says anything else and we create a little tackle problem that blows up our agenda and delays us 5 or 10 or 15 minutes. But the question anything else usually happens because of a lack of good meeting strategy as well. If you don't have a strategy, you're going to be playing whack-a-mole with a lot of other similar agenda-destroying techniques. So the ultimate meeting strategy is to take 10 minutes on the first meeting that you have of any type of recurring meeting. And in some cases, organizations do it and say, these are our standing meeting ground rules. And they're posted in every meeting room, almost inevitably without clocks, interestingly enough. Or you can do it for all of your team meetings. Say, look, for Hey, folks, me and all y'all, when we have meetings, here are our ground rules, right? But you do that on a standing basis for one-off meetings. Remember, a one-off meeting might be 15 minutes long and it doesn't have an agenda, but it still has ground rules. You don't have to have an agenda to have ground rules. But look, the standard one would be, say, a weekly staff meeting or a project update meeting or whatever. And you have a standing meeting and you have standing ground rules. And if you're running that project, or if you're running a series of meetings with largely similar attendees, take the time in the first meeting, take 10 minutes, it doesn't take longer than that, and gain agreement on some standing ground rules. I'm not going to go through facilitating how you lead the discussion to capture the ground rules. You can listen to effective meetings and learn about that. The beauty of ground rules, though, is they kind of become a silent enforcer, a silent sergeant at arms for you, and enforces effectiveness so you don't have to. And you can actually, instead of disagreeing with what the person is saying, you could say, sorry, dude, ground rules, we're moving on. That's how you do it. Sorry, dude, ground rules, we're moving on. Or sorry, dude, ground rules, next item. Now, if you're wondering, well, okay, what should our ground rules be? Here are some basic ones. Start on time. By the way, all you have to do to start a meeting on time is be the one person there on time and start the meeting. If there's one other person in the room, start the meeting. End on time. How do you do that? Close your notebook, stand up and say, okay, we're done. Have an agenda. Use a parking lot. Capture deliverables. We've talked about those. Publish notes, not minutes. One at a time. So no crosstalk and no phones and no laptops. Those are just off the top of my head last night when I was writing this cast.
Those are all good ones, by the way.
Yeah. You do that, and you're in a whole, it's like you went from high school to the major leagues overnight. And then once you get these in place, people are like, this is good. I don't mind meetings. And all my meetings used to be an hour, they're now 45 minutes. And we're getting a lot of stuff done. Look, folks, run your meetings strategically, and you'll accomplish more, and you'll finish sooner. And perhaps the thing that'll astound you the most is folks will start showing up on time and be glad to see that you're running an effective meeting. And because of that, they'll behave better while they're in there with you.
Perfect.
Yeah.
All right, my friend. I enjoyed that.
Oh, it was a ball. It was a hoot.
Yeah, I won't do the equivalent of anything else because
don't say a lot about the
value and beauty of great meetings. But we'll leave it there.
Good.
Thank you, my friend.
Take care, partner.
Thanks, everyone. So long.